Let's start off with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this day. Lord, we're thankful for your love and grace and mercy in our lives. Lord, so many times we come up short. And Lord, we come up short on the same things over and over sometime. Lord, there's victory promised. Lord, if we'll but yield our lives to you, if we'll bend our knee before you in humility and prayer, Lord, you've promised the victory. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, I believe it is, you talked about the eyes of the Lord going to and fro throughout the whole earth to show yourself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward you. Lord, might we seek each morning to have perfect hearts toward you, and then might you use us. Might we know your blessing on our lives. Might we know victorious Christian living. Lord, we failed this week. We came up short. We sinned. Lord, help us not to stay down. David didn't stay down. David repented. David turned, and total forgiveness was there. Lord, we can have that. We can have victorious living through you. Lord, we're thankful for your word, your spirit. We pray that your word and your spirit would speak to each heart here today. In Jesus' name, amen. As you went through your lessons this week, did anybody have a question about it? Maybe you looked at the lesson as a whole or whatever. Anybody have a question about your lesson this week? No, not really? Okay. Obviously, here it's talking about the preacher in the first century church. And as I was going through the lesson, I was thinking, well, these folks out in front of me aren't the preacher in the first century church. You guys aren't the preacher, at least not the preacher that stands up here. You're the preacher that goes out on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and goes into the shops and goes into the stores and goes into the restaurants. You're that preacher. That's who we are. We're the preacher that goes out from here and takes the gospel message. We're not the preacher that stands up here. But understanding the preacher of the first century church, and you know, as I went through this lesson and I considered our pastor, certainly this man fits in as being a preacher of the first century church. This guy knows the word. He reads it. He's memorized it. This guy is always quoting scripture after scripture after scripture. I don't know how many scriptures he's memorized, but certainly we have a good pastor here. So then our lesson then, how would this lesson apply to us? Anytime God's word is presented, the question that you and I ask is, Lord, what do you have here for me? What do you have in this lesson that you want me to see, that you want me to understand, and that you want me to do? God uses the preaching of his word to do many things in accomplishing his work. We must have a return to Bible preaching. Those who have been called by God to preach should follow the pattern given in the New Testament. Every believer should develop a love for Bible preaching and an appreciation for those whom God has called to bring forth the message. As we consider our lesson today, we need to recognize that God uses the preaching of his word in a vital way to accomplish his work. It's the preaching of his word. It's not all the other things that the churches have brought in today. It's the preaching of the word. That's where the power is. That's where the power comes from for our lives. Then we need to realize that people are spiritual beings and that preachers must declare unto them spiritual truths and allow the Spirit of God to deal in their hearts. Then to develop an appreciation for those who faithfully preach God's word and begin to pray for them, or maybe it's pray for them more. I don't know what it is in your life. We need to hold God's man up. We need to hold him up every day. The battle out there is fierce. Satan would love to knock this guy off this pulpit. He would love to. We need to pray for our pastor. We need to love our pastor. We need to not be a burden to our pastor. Coming from a broken home, I lived with pastors when I was younger, and I saw how people that pastors loved so much hurt him. And I never understood that. Why would someone that loves God's man hurt him? And yet I've seen people in churches as I was growing up that love him the most and hurt him. And certainly we don't want to do that. We want to hold up God's man in prayer. And then to show from God's word the characteristics of what a New Testament preacher is. Take your questions, if you would, please. The preacher in the first century church. Our first question, what are the two different views of preaching across in 1 Corinthians 1:18? The two different views. Could I have a hand? Ma'am? Amen. To them that perish, it's foolishness, but to us that have believed and have been saved, it's the power of God. Tuesday, I don't know if you've got that. Tuesday, that should be 1 Corinthians 2:2. You actually probably didn't have any way of knowing that. According to the pattern set by Paul, what is the great message of the New Testament preacher? What is the great message? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. But change that in your notes there. That should be 1 Corinthians 2:2. But the great message of the New Testament preacher is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. According to Acts 20:31, did Paul sound an alarm and warn people in his preaching? Brother Brian? I saw your hand up earlier. Actually, let me ask for hands. Hands on that question. Did Paul sound an alarm and warn in preaching? Acts 20:31. Ma'am? Excellent. For 3 years, night and day. Excellent. Very good. And then Acts 24:25 and Acts 28:23. How do these passages describe Paul's preaching? Kelly? He reasoned with them and then he persuaded them in Acts 20:23, persuaded them concerning Jesus Christ. Excellent. You know, Pastor has given us many things. He's gone through apologetics. He's given us tools whereby we can go out from here and persuade men as the disciples stood before rulers and preached Jesus Christ. And the rulers would say, you know, almost thou persuadest me. You go away, I'll call you back another day. But they stood before kings and they preached God's message with power. They persuaded, they reasoned with men about the Bible, about God's word, about Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 18 and verses 24 through 28 list some of the characteristics the first century preacher Apollos. Give me a couple of them. Okay, somebody else give me some. You get your Bible? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Ma'am? Amen. Okay. Eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, instructed in the way of the Lord, fervent in spirit, talked diligently, okay, spoke boldly, mightily convinced the Jews, okay. And then 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says that the people's message, I'm sorry, the apostles' message, came not in word only. What does this mean, ma'am? Amen. It was demonstrated. It wasn't just a talk. It was demonstrated. Very good. It was demonstrated in power. in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. The beginning of our lessons to worship in the first century church. Sorry. They've got the questions on the back of the previous lesson. I say, that doesn't look right. Okay. Memory verse. Can I have a hand? You guys already knew this one before this lesson even got here. Can I have a hand? Memory verse. 2 Timothy 4:2. Mrs. Ravert. Exhort. I'm sorry. Amen. Thank you. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Message to the pastor? Yes. Message to you and I? Yes. It certainly is. As we go through this lesson today, what we're going to ask ourselves is, Lord, what would you have for me in this lesson? What do you have for me? We must recognize that God uses preaching to do things in accomplishing his work. What we find in Acts chapter 18 is a glimpse into the life of New Testament preacher. Turn with me to Acts 18, and we'll read verses 24 through 28. Acts 18, 24 through 28. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them with much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. We must have a return to Bible preaching. God's word is the answer for man's need. Not all the other things out there that the world talks about. God's word is the answer. God's word is the answer for mine and your needs. God's word is the answer. We've got to return to God's word. Not all the philosophies of this world that have invaded. We teach them to our kids in our colleges, and then our kids learn all the wrong things, and then they become president of the United States. And this God's word is shoved aside, and all the philosophies of the day are taught from that office. And that does not honor the Lord. We'll be greatly helped by a renewed emphasis on of the first century preacher. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. People are spiritual beings. We need to declare to them spiritual truth and allow the Spirit of God to deal with their hearts. We've got to preach God's word. He'll build his church, but we've got to preach his word. That's what he's called us to do. That's the one thing that God has designed for man to do. Now, could he call the rocks to do that? Yes, he certainly could. But that's not the plan that he has. The plan is that you and I be faithful witnesses to those around us. If God has not called you to preach, You should have an appreciation for anyone that is called by God to preach his word. Preaching is heralding forth the word of God. The first century preacher was persuasive. We're going to be going through a bunch of scriptures here, although they're all really close, so we'll be able to get through them easily and without turning a lot of pages. Acts 18, verse 13. We're just going to be going through a lot of verses and seeing specific things, saying, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God, and here they're saying contrary to their law. What a testimony. What a testimony. One day I had a woman give me a horrible testimony of my life. A horrible testimony. Reason I share it with you is that to try to make a difference in your life as the Lord would make a difference in my life. She said, Chris, she said, I worked for her. She said, you haven't pushed your religion on me. And I went, in my heart, I went, I failed. I fixed her garden. I fixed everything in her house. I can make all that better. And I failed to, as she said, push my religion on her. Man, I came up short. I came up short. Because that's the world's view. Oh, you know, you mentioned Jesus Christ, you mentioned salvation, you mentioned their sin, and it's all, don't I don't want to talk religion, don't shove your religion off on me. A cup of cold water, the Bible says, given in his name. But if we give that cup of cold water, I think it has to be given in his name. You know what I'm saying? And probably the worst testimony I could have ever had anyone say to me, you haven't done that to me. And I thought, oh, what a failure. What a failure. But God forgives us of our failures, doesn't he?
Right.
The devil says you're a failure. You failed too many times. Stay right down there. Don't get up. Doesn't he? He tells us that. Stay right down there. Don't get up. The Lord comes up and he says, what? I'm still on the throne here. I'm still God. Get up. Let's go do right. And he's there to encourage us. First, we saw he's persuasive. Verse 13. In Acts 20, 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day. The first century preacher warned in his preaching. He warned. He poked his finger over the pulpit and warned, let me tell you where your sin is going to take you. Let me tell you where the life you're living right now is going to take you. And he did that. Our pastor does that. That's what a first century. When we say we're talking about becoming a first century church and obeying the Lord the way that the first century Christians did. Then Acts 24, 25, the first century preacher reasoned in his preaching. Acts 24, 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call thee. He reasoned. We need to take God's word and we need to reason with the lost. We need to reason with other people that say they're Christians. And quite frankly, by the looks of them and the looks of their lives, I work with 300 or 400 people, depending on where I'm at in the plant. And many of them claim to be Christians. And they swear. And they just do all those things. And I think, you know, how do you say you're a Christian? And yet you just look and live and do everything the world does. The Lord has certainly called us to be different, that they might see Jesus Christ in us. First Thessalonians 1:5. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. The first century preacher preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we are among you for your sakes. Preach with power of the Holy Spirit. Then the first century preacher was mighty in the scriptures, Acts 18:24. Acts 18:24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. God's man is to be mighty in the scriptures. You and I ought to be mighty in the scriptures. You and I ought to be. We ought to study the scriptures as well. We study the Word of God in order to do what? To have an academic, just a knowledge? No, certainly not. It's so the Lord can work in our hearts and that we can go from this place and be different and honor Him in our lives. We should be mighty in the Scriptures as well. There's many books out there today to help. As pastor said recently, the Bible will shed a lot of light on a lot of our commentaries. We've got them on our shelves, and we go to them. But the Bible, it's the scriptures. That's where the power of God is. That's where the answer is. It's the scriptures. Then the first century preacher was instructed in the way of the Lord. Acts 18:25. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Instructed in the way of the Lord. If we are going to be instructed in God's word, what do we need to do? We need to listen as pastor preaches. We need to listen as the Holy Spirit preaches. And then what do we need to do? We need to get on a Bible reading schedule. Pastor, a month and a half ago, challenged us on a Wednesday night. If you're not on a Bible reading schedule, 1 year Bible over here divides it up really nicely. You do some Old Testament reading, you do some New Testament reading, read a little bit of Psalm and some Proverbs, breaks it up really nice. One problem with reading through the Old Testament, you get in some of these books and they're scraping the walls and you're just going through this day after day and you're thinking, man, and you're just dying in there. So, and I'm not saying there's nothing in there. Holiness was important. That was important. And I don't mean to say it wasn't, but dividing that up can help you get through those books. That way, you've got some New Testament that day. You've got some Psalms that day. Good book to have if you don't have a way to read through God's Word. That's a good thing to do. Instructed in the way of the Lord. Our instruction comes from our pastor. It comes from God's word. It comes from scripture memorization. Every week we do a verse. Again, there's a guy on the internet named Ron Hood. He's got a memorization program. If you don't have a scripture memorization program, he's got one. You might need to tweak it to fit you. But man, you learn the verse for this week. Write it down on a 3x5 and pick it up once a week and look at it and read it and let God put His word deep down in your heart. And then you'll have that when you go to speak to someone else. God will be able to say, hey, that was your memory verse 2 weeks ago. Here it is. And it will give it to you. And you'll be able to say it. You think, wow. But God's word is powerful. We need to be instructed in the way of the Lord. Every preacher should submit himself to be instructed in the way of the Lord. Then the first century preacher was fervent in spirit. 1825, again, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing. I read 18. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in spirit. I'm sorry, there it is. Fervent in spirit. Mine in your spirit. It's when we line up with the Holy Spirit and what he wants in our life, what he would have us to do, that still small voice that speaks to us. When we fail, when we come up through a week and you look back and you think, an evaluation, how did I do for the Lord this week? And you look down through there and you think, man, I missed that day of Bible reading and that day. And I missed this and I missed this. But you know, God will give you the victory. And I think if you were to look at your life right now, and if you're looking for God's will in your life, and if you're seeking to obey him, and you look back to a day a long time ago, you might see that the Lord has moved you along. You know, we take these little steps, and sometimes we don't realize, you know, I guess I have moved along. I guess the Lord has gotten through this thick head of mine. I guess God's word has spoken to my heart. When you see things a little bit at a time, you don't really see them. You build a new house. You build it stick by stick by stick. And, you know, you got a new house. But, man, nothing like driving down the road and seeing, boy, look at that new house. Wouldn't that be nice to have? And you walk in, you buy it. And, wow, that's just different than when you watch the thing get built stick by stick. I don't know. It's just something different. But God is working in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. Both to will and do of his good pleasure. And you're probably well further along now in honoring him in your life than you, if you are diligently seeking him. First century preacher was diligent. Again, 1825. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. Diligently. He was diligent. First century preacher was bold. Spurgeon, I've said this for a couple of weeks now, I saw some quotes from Spurgeon. Spurgeon said, never for the fear of feeble man restrain our witness. And yet, in my life, that's probably one of the biggest things that restrains my witness. For fear of feeble man, whether it's myself, I won't know the words, I won't say the right thing, or whether it's this guy, he's got stripes, or he's somebody important. Never for the fear of feeble man. I mean, when you line that guy up, even in his position, against a holy God, he doesn't line up at all, does he? He's just a lost man. Preaching of the cross is foolishness to him. We've got to tell him. We've got to be bold. First century preacher was mightily convinced concerning Christ. He stood before the ruler and said, and the ruler said, almost thou persuadest me. We've got to be convinced. We've got to believe it ourselves. And then we've got to give it to them. We've got to give it to them. The first century preacher declared publicly that Jesus is Christ. That's our message. That's the preacher's message. That's our message. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to take away your sin. A preacher cannot have a public ministry if his private life is not what it should be. You and I cannot live victorious Christian lives if our private lives aren't what they need to be. We can't do it. The victory comes, as Pastor has said, prayer is the main thing. It's the main thing. It's not to help in the main thing. Prayer, humbling myself, humbling yourself before a holy God is the main thing. God does not bless and use a man because of what he is in public. The Lord looks at a man's heart. Preacher of yesterday, his name is Lloyd. Great preacher. Passed away. came to the funeral, said to the wife, "I'm going to miss your husband's preaching." He said, or she said to him, "I'm going to miss my husband's praying." Wow. What a testimony. I'm going to miss my husband's praying. Could my wife say that about me? And I'm not saying I don't pray, but man, I'm going to miss his praying. Wow. You and I can be mightily before God. We can be mightily used of God as we bow our knee. The first century preacher, the guy that stands in the pulpit, has a message. He gives it to you and I from God's word. God's Spirit speaks to you and I. And then you and I go out and we're the preachers the rest of the week. We've got to take God's word. We've got to take it to the lost. We've got to take it on our knees. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's preach that message. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you're so gracious and loving. You're so patient with us. Lord, might we spend more time on our knees, more time humbled before you, more time setting ourselves aside and looking for your will for each day. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be victorious Christians. You've given us the formula. All we have to do is submit to your will. Lord, help us to make a difference. Make a difference to the lost. Make a difference to fellow brothers that are having a hard time. Help us to make a difference to the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much for coming. Start early on your lesson. Early in the week, the Lord will work on your heart through it throughout the week. Thank you for coming.